In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. As we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost today, and we read this familiar story from Acts of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can focus a little bit on the particular miracle of that day, the miracle that as the apostles were preaching, people who were there from every nation, every culture, every language of the then known world could understand the apostles, even though they didn't speak the same language. It was, in a way, an undoing of an ancient curse that goes all the way back to the book of Genesis. Perhaps you remember the story. In their pride and in their arrogance, human beings had built a tower to try to climb up to heaven and to dethrone God, in a sense, to put themselves in God's place. And this engineering project, the Tower of Babel, caused God, in the story, to separate people by language. In other words, they had all spoken apparently one language until this point, but then they were cast into a confusion of many languages so that they could never again conspire to build such a tower. It's a fanciful story. It reminds me of a comment my Old Testament professor in seminary used to say, that so much of the Old Testament is really the answer to the question, hey, mom and dad, why are things the way they are? You can imagine some kid saying, hey, how is it that when people come to visit from another country, we can't understand them and they can't understand us? And the story goes, you know, well, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, we could understand each other, but then there was this Tower of Babel, and now we have different languages. Of course, we know the story is much more complex, the evolution of different cultures and languages, of course. But there's something deep in that story, isn't there? This deep yearning to see ourselves as one united humanity. And the terrible sadness of being separated by language and culture and nation and race. We certainly see the tragic effects of that separation today. The deaths recently of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Ahmaud Arbery have reignited in this country a simmering anger over the continuing sin of racism. A deep distrust that we are on the same team, part of the same community, a deep sadness and anger over unjust treatment in so many ways. And so that's ignited into protests around the country. And that is very frightening, isn't it, to see those images of destruction and violence, to see the horrible death of George Floyd, which is still haunting me in my thoughts. We are so aware of this separation and so needing to see some kinds of unity. It can happen in so many ways. It was interesting to me, it was very ironic, the other story, not as violent, but sad, of an encounter in Central Park. Two people with the same last name, both named Cooper, who found themselves in Central Park. The Harvard-educated birdwatcher, African-American, and a woman named Amy Cooper, who was walking her dog and who called the police on him for what seems like an absurd reason. But I thought, what a perfect image of our separation, that even people with the same last name, just enjoying the same park, are so divided by this terrible sin of separation and racism. There are hopeful signs that we need to look at, and I think as Christians to bear witness to the hope and the truth that we are in God, in our Creator, in the gift of the Holy Spirit, really deeply united, if we will claim that, if we will claim the unity that is ours in God. We can have a more hopeful future. there was a story in the New York Times this week that kind of tickled me. Back in the 80s, you know, now we're dealing with COVID-19, but back in the 80s, there was a tremendous amount of fear and unknown about this AIDS, HIV crisis. I mean, there was lots of, at the beginning, misinformation and unknowns about how it would spread and what you would do. And there were concerns about how it was being treated, particularly in the gay community. And so two men found themselves right at the forefront of this struggle. One is Anthony Fauci, the same man who is such a leader in the fight against COVID-19. He was one of the foremost epidemiologists who was working on AIDS, and he was closely working with the White House and with the government. And on the other side was an AIDS activist named Larry Kramer, who just died this past week, who became famous or infamous for starting ACT UP and other sort of street-level protests against the treatment of AIDS patients and the what he considered a very slow pace of research and information about AIDS and HIV. And so he just lobbed all these kind of verbal hand grenades at Anthony Fauci over the years. And interestingly, over time, the two men who were on opposite sides of this struggle in many ways came to see themselves as friends. In fact, Anthony Fauci talks about how he had gone to talk with Larry Kramer, and they then in subsequent years would often appear on talk shows together, and they became quite close. Now, still, Larry Kramer would publicly attack Anthony Fauci if he felt it would help the cause. And yet there was a deep warmth and understanding and compassion between these two very different men. And I thought somehow, despite the adversarial relationship, they were able to hear each other. Even though they spoke different languages, they were able to hear in each other the same yearning for a better future, for health and for wellness and for justice. And that's a hopeful sign, isn't it? Story is told by a person in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. There was a Jew named Yankel who owned a bakery. He had survived the Nazi death camps. He once said, "You know why it is that I'm alive today? I was a kid, just a teenager at the time. We were on the train in a boxcar being taken to Auschwitz. Night came and it was freezing, deathly cold in that boxcar. The Germans would leave the cars on the side of the tracks overnight, sometimes for days on end without any food, and of course no blankets to keep us warm. Sitting next to me was an older Jew, this beloved elderly Jew from my hometown that I recognized, but I had never seen him like this. He was shivering from head to toe and looked terrible. So I wrapped my arms around him and began rubbing him to warm him up. I rubbed his arms, his legs, his face, his neck. I begged him to hang on. All night long, I kept the man warm this way. I was tired. I was freezing cold myself. My fingers were numb, but I didn't stop rubbing the heat onto this man's body. Hours and hours went by this way. Finally, night passed, morning came, and the sun began to shine. There was some warmth in the cabin, and then I looked around the car to see some of the other Jews in the car. To my horror, all I could see were frozen bodies. All I could hear was a deathly silence. No one else in that cabin made it through the night. They died from the frost. Only two people survived. The old man survived because someone kept him warm. I survived because I was warming someone else. Let me tell you," he said, "the secret of Judaism. When you warm other people's hearts, you remain warm yourself. When you seek to support, encourage, and inspire others, then you discover support, encouragement, and inspiration in your own life as well. That, my friends, is Judaism 101. And I would say that is Christianity 101 as well. To warm each other with the fire of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. To recognize that each human being is precious in the eyes of God, created in the image of God. By the power of the Holy Spirit, to be able to see the dignity of every human being, to hear the voices of people different from us, to see ourselves as one family, one tribe, one nation, to overcome the pride, prejudice, and divisiveness that have been with us at least since the Tower of Babel, and to commit ourselves to unity in diversity. These are the words of St. Paul. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. On our money, as Americans, there is a little slogan that is a symbol of our identity as a people. E pluribus unum, out of many, one. It is a call and a reminder to us in all of our magnificent and challenging diversity to see the deep oneness that is the mark of our Creator. I invite us this Pentecost to give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit that helps us to hear and to see all of our fellow human beings as equally made in the image of God, as inheritors of the promise of God's life and grace and love, and to rise to the challenge, a deep and difficult challenge, to work as far as we are able for a society in which all are valued, in which all have a voice, in which all have dignity. May we experience the love and power and grace of the Holy Spirit, and may it work in and through us for the good of the world and the light of the gospel of peace. Amen.